Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. This is Reba Hassa, Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And this is Eric Ostinas from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.
Yeah, he was about to try and steal my thunder there, I saw.
Who, me?
Yeah, you looked like you were about to jump on the mic. I was like, hey.
No.
It's my turn.
I wouldn't dare do that. No, never.
Because you know there'd be a beatdown.
That's right. That's right. It wouldn't end well.
Trying to take advantage of my weakened state.
That's right. Your post-op.
Yes.
Post-op vulnerability going on there.
I'm gonna do a quick PSA. Yeah. Besides the fact that we have a wonderful nonprofit here with us on the show. But PSA, folks, if you ever have odd moles, and I'm not talking about the things that take up your yard.
No.
I'm talking about the things that show up on your bod.
Yeah.
Go get them checked out.
Yeah.
Because for our listeners who may or may not have known or who follow me on social media, I just had my second wide excision surgery for a malignant melanoma last week.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for information about what happened with my lymph nodes. So we'll know more this week. But just a note to self, I was putting myself out there on social media to show folks what that looks like. And that's never a fun time. And, you know, the thing is I'm lucky and blessed and part of it coming from hard work I put in place, but also just opportunities provided to me. I'm financially in a place where dealing with this is something I can handle. And, you know, self-employed, we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm self-employed and I have to insure myself. And so my husband and I have catastrophic insurance. So even just my deductible for the year is over $6,000.
Right.
Which I will more than easily hit
with
the two surgeries I've already
had.
I'll
knock that one.
I'll knock that out of the park. But it's oftentimes, like your question in the last segment, Eric, is how do people end in homelessness sometimes? And yes, it is sometimes things where people might have a medical thing that they become dependent maybe on pain medicines and things of that nature, or maybe a catastrophic illness hits them and they are not in a place where they are insured. I mean, I had that happen when I was 20. I nearly died. I didn't have insurance. And I was in the hospital for 11 days and was tens of thousands of dollars in debt without a job when I came out of the hospital.
Right.
And couldn't work for several months just because of that. So, you know, these are things that are kind of near and dear to my heart, Robin, because I've been in that point of fear where it's like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? I don't necessarily have a great support network around me. And, you know, how do you get out of it? And the reality is, it was because I happened to have a really good friend who taught me a lot in that period of time, who gave me resources and didn't give me a handout. He gave me a hand up and helped coach me how to deal with the financial pain that inflicted in my life and helped me get back on the road to good credit. And, you know, I started building a career directive that I was going to have. And even today, you know, because I run my business a certain way, I've been putting money aside. I have an HSA account. So my, you know, that deductible will be covered. And hopefully, you know, knock on wood, I won't require a lot of additional treatment. But, you know, during the recession, I also saw a lot of people who went through homelessness. And they're usually caused by either death, divorce, or medical problems, or a combination of, right? And so you guys provide not just the housing, you know, opportunities, but you provide other helpful resources. Can you give us an outline of some of those other things that you guys provide?
Sure. And I'd like to say that all of the situations you described, we have seen with individuals. So we know that those definitely health issues definitely contribute. Our philosophy when we work with families is to provide holistic services and a wraparound approach as much as possible. So our case managers are not there to do the work for the families that we work with. They're there to coach them, give them the resources and tools, but it's really up to the individual to utilize those. With housing, we talked about, we have rental assistance. We have housing where people can stay. And throughout that time, they have that contact person who's helping them. But we also know that it's important to have a job, for example, to be able to maintain housing. So we have employment services for youth and adults. And those employment services can sometimes include paid internships where people work. They're on our payroll. that they work at an organization or business in the community in a field that they're interested in that's a good match. They can build up their work history and their confidence and compete in the labor market more effectively.
What are some examples?
I might need to talk to you about that later.
Sure, sure. You know, it's really a wide range. We try to develop work sites that are a match for the person's interests, and so we have a lot of different partners. But I'll tell you two really creative examples, and this was years ago, but we had an individual who wanted to do costume design, and we did not have a costume design work site, so we worked with different businesses to set one up, and this person learned how to make costumes for shows in Las Vegas and Disneyland, things like that. But it's everything from office to auto mechanics.
Yeah, I need that for some of our yacht club parties. We do all these masquerade and other types of dress-up things, and I do not know how to make a costume.
Me either.
There's actually a costume makers union, a local union.
Is that
dressmakers?
How do you know all these strange things? You're just filled with factoids.
I don't know. I just do. I have customers.
You and your brother, I gotta say, you and Lance just have such a large amount of factoids. Yeah. I usually think I have a lot of factoids, but you guys, you trump me all the time.
Yeah, well, we can do this all day long. Yeah,
you could. You could. I believe that. I believe that. Anyway, back
Excellent.
To
Rob.
Oh, sure. Okay. And we also have one other thing I'll mention. We have education services, so helping people to get their GED is one example so that they can access those jobs.
So, okay, quick question, because I'm also on the Renton Technical College Foundation Board. And a lot, I learned at commencements this year, how many people are actually coming through our college to get GED, really.
Right.
So the people that you're working with, where are they typically having that provided? Like, where are they going?
So we have sites throughout Federal Way, throughout South King County, actually, some at libraries, some at our offices.
Okay.
And we tend to get the individuals who have been out of school for a while and maybe have some strong insecurities or whose literacy level is such that they need additional attention to get up to that GED level. But we work closely with the Federal Way School District as one example. Okay. So in one of their alternative schools, if they have somebody come in and they only have 2 credits, they will refer them to us because they'll be likely to get their GED more quickly and vice versa.
Got it. Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to be trying to learn a little bit more about what all you offer, because I love the dovetailing of everything, because you have to have the education, you have to have the GED to be more employable, and you have to have other skills to be successful in the job itself and within, even if it's not yet home ownership, just being successful in having a place.
Well, and your agency has been around probably longer than most, you know, in our community. Mm-hmm. So you're probably sort of the go-to place, you know, for that. That's a good anchor, I suppose, for other agencies.
Sure. Okay, yeah, because you tie into a lot of other agencies.
We do. We do work with, like I said, over 200 organizations. And we're also trying to help some grassroots community groups to be able to be more empowered and provide some technical assistance.
That's good. Yeah. Well, let's talk, you know, to me, the 800-pound, you know, gorilla in the room is this opioid crisis that's going on.
Yes.
How's that impacting your agency, and what are you kind of, how are you involved in with that?
We're definitely seeing more individuals that are struggling with that. We are the regional access point in King County for individuals who need emergency housing and they're going through coordinated entry. And so we see a lot of individuals who come in. They may not be in the grips of that at the time, but I can tell you as one example, we had a customer at one point who owned their own business, very successful, had an injury, and as you said, unfortunately became addicted and has been successful since then. But it happens, unfortunately, more commonly and more easily than you would think. So we're really trying to strengthen our relationships with other substance abuse counseling providers, mental health counseling providers, to be able to help with that piece of it so that we can move them into housing eventually and do all those other things that lead to economic independence.
Do you have requirements for housing? Do they have to be in counseling or a treatment program or something like that?
So that is a really good question. In this county, we utilize the Housing First model. And it's really, sometimes it's hard for people to wrap their head around it because we do not have requirements. Part of that has to do with tenant-landlord law as well. Mm-hmm. But we cannot require somebody to be in counseling and housing. However, the reason that Housing First is a model right now in King County and actually throughout the nation is that it's oftentimes more effective for someone to be stable in housing first in order to be successful in their efforts to deal with any addictions that they might have.
It meets that whole thing around Maslow's theory.
Right, exactly.
Right? You know, that people have to feel safe and have that stability of housing, food, warmth, you know, and not be in a, because that's the whole thing about homelessness is you're constantly in a traumatic state.
Right.
Wondering what's going to happen? Where will I be? Could somebody come after me? And because there's a lot of that that happens in mm-hmm. the homeless community, that people might prey upon each other. And that's, or even just the general population can prey on homeless. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I know that also part of near and dear to my heart is Treehouse organization, because mm-hmm. foster kids, you probably mm-hmm. see a lot of kids who come right. through foster care.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because statistically, sadly, about 50% of kids who go through foster care oftentimes end up homeless mm-hmm. because they haven't been given that stability over time. Mm-hmm. They haven't been taught skills, and they, you know, they're already typically behind in their education because they're getting moved and moved and moved and moved. And that always interrupts the educational cycle for them. So, not to take over what you're about to say, but
no, all
of these things can dovetail. So, you know, I get it where the housing first, because that was the thing for my friend. When I got out of the hospital, I was like, where am I going to go?
Right.
What am I going to do? And if you don't know that, it's real hard to get up and get ready and get showered and go on a job interview.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you don't know how, you know, where you're going to end up that
right.
night. No, I totally get that. Wow, interesting. And you're serving how many housing units right now?
We own and operate over 540 affordable housing units. So those mm-hmm. are our apartment complexes. And then last year, in general, through all of our services, we serve roughly 50,000 individuals.
That's a lot of people.
Yes.
That's a lot.
That's half the size of Renton right there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And this is all mostly South King County, too, which mm-hmm. is fantastic.
Yes.
I want to learn more about your luncheon that's coming up.
Yes. Sure. Thank you for asking. So we have a luncheon every year called the MSC Helps Luncheon. And this year it is this Thursday, October 19th at Emerald Downs. Doors open at 11:30 and the lunch is from noon to 1.
Okay.
And we have Dr. Gloria Burgess as our keynote. She's a renowned speaker about leadership and leaving a legacy. And so that, we still have openings. You can go on our website or you can contact us via info@mschelps.org.
So info@mschelps.org.
Correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. got it.
I am also sharing, they have an event for this on Facebook. So we are sharing that onto some of our sites today, and we will continue to post that around on Twitter and Facebook and a few other places too. So if you want to look for that in any of our contacts, you can get that as well. So we've got one more little session we're going to be going through with Robin Korak from the Multi-Service Center when we get back. If you have questions, please call in 866-712-1300 on Open House with Team Reba.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.